Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, South Bay Spotlight, on June 11th, 2015. Voted best local radio show in the Daily Breeze Reader Choice Poll 2014, and we are definitely looking for a repeat. We're going to find out what those results are very, very shortly, mid-July, so stay tuned for that. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that. I'm your host, Joe Terry, and the South Bay Show is brought to you by the Academy of Foreign Languages. If you have any interest in learning a new language or brushing up on existing language skills, you should know about the Academy of Foreign Languages. Located in Palos Verdes, the Academy of Foreign Languages specializes in the art of communication. Their mission is to provide the finest language instruction possible. They recognize that each student has distinctive needs and craft their teaching technique to optimize an individual's particular learning skills. At the Academy of Foreign Languages, they strive to create a comfortable environment conducive to learning. So whether you're learning a new language or would simply like to converse in your native tongue, the Academy of Foreign Languages can accommodate you. For more information, visit their website at www.academyofforeignlanguages, all spelled out, academyofforeignlanguages.com, or call 310-975-4133. That's 310-975-4133. You can find out all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on the South Bay Show. And, of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with SouthBayByJackie.com and producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well this morning, Joe. How are you?
Great, good. Love talking about Black Hat
yes.
SEO.
And I noticed that you were extra on point with the buys. South Bay Buy, Jackie. Yes.
Yes. South Bay Buy.
Black Hat. This is Internet Special Ops. Black Ops, right?
Yes. We're dealing with some special Black Ops, and it's very interesting because, of course, Internet traffic is so valuable in so many arenas of life, business, politics, and so many others that lots of people try to get it any way they can.
Yeah, basically somebody is using my name to drive traffic to their site.
Yes.
I guess that means I've made the big time.
I guess we have.
Yeah, right?
So, you know, another thing, one of the things, fascinating things, of course, in 1997, I was a member of a small group of people that brought the Hermosa Beach Film Festival to life. And I'm very, very proud, especially of that inaugural year, 1997 and 1998. We had a blast. It was a lot of fun. We premiered some important works, and we had some big movie stars at the premieres. And, you know, Hollywood has always lived in the South Bay, Jackie.
Are you sure?
Yes, I am very sure. I mean, from the early days, I mean, from the early days, they talk about, you know, Bing Crosby and Bob Hope in Palm Springs, but they don't talk about, you know, the other big stars that lived on the Hill and Palos Verdes and certainly in Hermosa, Manhattan, and Redondo.
Okay, wait a minute. Okay, tell us who, because I was unaware of this. I didn't know there was Hollywood in the South Bay.
I have some long-term residents in Hermosa who used to tell me that they lived right next door to Marlon Brando in the old days. I mean, in the 70s, in the 60s. Marlon Brando used to live in Hermosa Beach.
I didn't know that.
Yes, he did. I mean, that's one name to drop. I mean, there's innumerable. And it's not just the big stars, of course. It's the thousands and thousands of people that are supported by the movie industry, the grippers, the gaffs, the best boys, the script people, and of course the thousand of crafts. There's also, you know, all kinds of carpenters and electricians and so forth that focus, you know, their profession in the movie industry, and they live here in the South Bay. And so it's fascinating. I can't wait if we get a chance to talk to our guests, because that's really what I wanted to talk about is how Hollywood has evolved. And of course, we have the Manhattan Beach Studios here now, which just moved in a few years ago, which have brought many, many, you know, high-profile television shows to the South Bay, including, you know, CSI Miami. As far as I know, this is the home for production of CSI Miami when it's in full production, as well as many, many other great shows right here in Manhattan Beach. Jackie, who's our guest today?
Okay, our guest this morning is Max Yaffe, founder of Big Door, located in El Segundo. Max is an award-winning producer-director with over 20 years in the industry. His philosophy has been to build a company where innovation and ideation are the driving forces. Born in broadcast, Max and his team at Big Door have produced over 1,000 productions, from the two-hour series finale special for Lost to numerous promos and broadcast specials for ABC, Fox, and Disney. Max is constantly looking to challenge himself and his team to keep his company relevant. They produced the first ever digital series for ABC with Ugly Betty, the first ever live scripted music video with Death Cab for Cutie, the first digital branded entertainment series for the OWN and Esquire networks, and the first ever commercial pod takeover for the MTV VMAs for Chevy. Now, recently, Big Door has teamed with brands and networks to produce digital content for Cadillac, the Producers Guild of America, Absolute, Relativity Digital Studios, Chivas, Esquire Network, the Glenn Livett, Sundance Channel, Kia, The Voice, NBC, The Fosters, Pretty Little Liars, Disney, and ABC Family. His philosophy is simple: be fearless, be your best, be innovative. Welcome to the program, Max. Are you with us this morning?
I don't think he's with us yet.
Oh, okay. He's not here yet.
No.
Well, they're doing a lot of work there.
They are doing a great deal of work, and it's all happening in El Segundo.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot going on in El Segundo.
Yes.
There's this whole, like, underground art scene and entertainment scene going on there, and it's very stealth.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, this isn't. I mean, this is big-time production. I mean...
Well, no. I know it's... When I say stealth, I mean, like, not many people know about it.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, that's true, I guess. But, I mean, with a 9,000-square-foot studio and production facility, they can't really hide. it's quite huge. It's enormous. And yet, as described by their website, it's a boutique production facility. Because, of course, production facilities in Hollywood proper and on the West Side, you know, 9,000 square feet is considered small.
Right,
I mean,
right,
they have,
right.
You know, 30,000, 40,000 square foot production facilities there that's normal. What it takes is really, you know, the contacts and the technical, that's what's really exciting about it, and I can't wait to get Max on the line. Someone,
do you want to try his number again, or
sure.
Shall we just wait and see if he's going to call in?
No, I think we should. As a matter of fact, I think someone blipped in a moment ago, and oh wait, there they are again.
All right, here we go.
Let's see.
Good morning.
Are you on the line? Good morning.
I am.
How are you?
I'm doing great, guys.
Good. Now, how do we pronounce your last name, Max?
It's Yaffe.
Oh, good. Well, we got it right the first time. You missed your great introduction, Max. You missed a fabulous introduction. It was great. You can't believe it. But we're so glad you could join us this morning.
Well, thank you, guys. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. So we were just getting to, you know, to motivate the question of why El Segundo, and can you just give us a little history of Big Door Entertainment Company?
Yeah, so we started 20 years ago back in our roots were in broadcast. As we say, we were born in broadcast, where we were doing traditional promos for TV. We did a whole bunch of promos for Lost. We also did a lot of specials. We did the two-hour finale special for Lost as well. We did a lot of viral campaigns back in the day. And we were always interested in what's around the corner. We love being an innovative company. We love being first in to try something different. So when digital started coming up, we jumped in feet first. And our first big project was we did the first ever web series for ABC for one of their primetime properties, which was for Ugly Betty. And that was a great experience because back then, this was actually during the writer's strike was going on, there weren't a lot of companies that were, you know, involved in doing digital series. And for ABC, this was a big deal because this was the first ever digital series they were doing for one of their primetime properties. And I remember there must have been 20 ABC executives behind me when I was directing the show.
That's a classic image. The suits.
The hovering. Yeah. Hovering.
Suits.
Yes.
But, you know, the best sign is they leave before the show is done. Then it's good because that means they're not nervous and they're like, okay, everything's all right.
I have a question, Max. When you say you began 20 years ago, where were you physically located at 20 years ago?
So 20 years ago, we actually were in Redondo Beach. And
really?
We're in Redondo Beach. We were renting out some different spaces around town. And we always wanted to buy a building. That was my long-term plan. And I was just waiting for the right time and the right facility. And I always loved El Segundo. I was also looking at...
This neighborhood of El Segundo, it's called... You called it Sleepy Hollow.
Oh, I'm sorry, Smoky Hollow.
Smoky Hollow. Where does that come from?
You know what? I have no idea. And I decided it's something... It's such a... has a little mystique to it, so I didn't want to know the answer. So I don't really have to try to figure it out.
That's wonderful.
Sometimes it's better not to know.
So continue with the history.
So I was deciding about 3 years ago, where should we plant our new building? Should we go into Hollywood, where a lot of my network clients are, or should we go to the West Side someplace? And I drove through El Segundo, and I just thought, one, it's so convenient because I live in Manhattan Beach. It's a 8-minute commute. And if Chevron would put a road from Rosecrans to Sheldon, which I've asked them, then I could cut my commute down to 6 minutes. But I just love the industrial chic architecture in El Segundo.
Right.
Especially in the Smoky Hollow area by Main Street. And it's always great, you know, when we work for a network or find a client, we always love to find the ones that are up and coming because we get to grow with them. And I felt El Segundo was the same way, that there were media companies and technology companies and artists that seemed to be just slowly popping up down there. And I thought, wow, this is great. It's got a great look. It feels like it's up and coming. The prices were still reasonable compared to the West Side, and it's conveniently close to where I live.
And it's at the beach.
And it's at the beach, exactly.
Yeah.
We were talking about the history of, you know, the history of the South Bay is closely tied to Hollywood. I mean, whether it be all the technical crafts, the gaffers and the best boys and the electricians and carpenters and so forth have lived in South Bay forever. Many stars, you know, called the South Bay home. It's not very exclusive or protected, but in the 60s and 70s, the stories I've heard is that Marlon Brando, when he would come to town, used to hang out in Hermosa Beach.
Oh,
and live,
how fun.
Actually, in Hermosa Beach. Mm-hmm. And of course, that's apocryphal. I mean, you know, Hollywood has been throughout Southern California forever, and the South Bay is a beautiful place to live. And no wonder you find many, many people that are known in Hollywood that live in the South Bay. But you've been here the whole time. Do you find it to be convenient, more convenient now than it was, you know, 5 years ago before Manhattan Studios moved here? A lot of people never considered the South Bay a big-time, you know, studio production area, but that wasn't true, was it?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point. Just with Manhattan Beach Studios coming down, and it's a big plus for us because we used to have to drive to the Valley to rent a lot of grip and lighting equipment. And now, you know, we just drive up to Manhattan Beach Studios, and we've got a great relationship with them. And I see a lot of people now living in Manhattan Beach and Hermosa who are starting to set up companies up in El Segundo and in Westchester and Playa and set up, you know, this kind of relationship down here. So, yeah, I think it's a lot more convenient because there's a lot more vendors down here that are working in the entertainment industry, and there's a lot more facilities. So, absolutely,
right.
I see it growing and growing.
Right. Right.
It used to be when I was first in El Segundo about 3 years ago, I would go out and I'd park my car and I'd go out to eat, and there'd be an old 74 Ford pickup truck in front of me. And there would be a Saturn with a broken window behind me. And now I go out and there's a 911 in front of me, and there's a Tesla pulling up behind me. I just see there's just a lot more wealth and established business and coming down to El Segundo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, Max, Joe and I, almost every show, when we feature a local business, we're hearing a similar story, right, Joe?
Absolutely. The South Bay has been discovered.
Yeah. Well, as it goes, what happens is people come down to the South Bay, whether it's Manhattan, Redondo, El Segundo, Torrance, whatever, to visit a friend or on business or something. And they're like, wow, this is a great little spot. And then a couple of years later, they decide to move their family down here.
Right.
And their kids are going to school here. And they're commuting to downtown or to the west side. And then eventually, they all have the same light bulb moment. Why am I doing this? I got to open a business down here. Right, Joe?
Right. Or move a business down here. One of my favorites is there used to be, you know, the South Bay used to be populated largely by aerospace companies. I mean, Hughes has been here forever, and then it was TRW, almost all of TRW's local properties got purchased by, oh my God, I'm losing it now. But the industrial spaces that many of these aerospace companies vacated became great spaces for companies like, I want to think of iWorks. iWorks is about five blocks from my house, and they produce huge properties like The Biggest Loser, and I think it was The Biggest Loser, and many other properties that people would know, were done five blocks from my house, or produced at least five blocks from my house. It's incredible. Hollywood has definitely moved down here.
Yeah, they really, really have. You know, the other interesting thing about El Segundo is you still have a lot of these sheet metal and car companies and manufacturing companies. There's a record company down there that still produces vinyl albums, and they're pressing vinyl albums. And it's an interesting mix to have you know, media companies and agencies and technology companies next to a car that's, you know, making dune buggies or, you know, fixing up Harleys. It really is quite a diverse neighborhood right now.
Is it, Max, is it conducive to the creative work that you do in your company, do you think, to have this kind of an environment?
Oh, it's a perfect canvas because, yeah. You know, these buildings they have down there, and this is what I love. I've got a as you mentioned, a 9,000-square-foot building with these giant metal girders going across the ceiling. And, you know, we went in and we spent a lot of money. We refurbished the whole thing. But to get the look of the building, that industrial chic, that really just says it's a creative space, it's great for us as a brand.
Right.
Because new buildings Oh, sorry.
No, go right ahead.
Yeah, so for a brand, it's perfect for us. It couldn't be better. It's got that, you know, because what we're looking for is we're looking for cool, hip, edgy, but in a safe area.
Mm-hmm. 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 Absolutely. Now, Jackie, where are you going?
Yeah. Creative space is key these days. Every real estate developer, you know, that term is thrown about left and right, creative space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody wants the glass box anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody wants creative space. And speaking of, you mentioned the canvas. There's a burgeoning art scene. Well, actually, I'm not sure. Is it burgeoning or has it been there all along? Because I was recently made aware that the inaugural El Segundo Art Walk is going to be happening later this month.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to actually have Holly Socrates on the show in a couple of weeks,
mm-hmm.
and she's going to talk about that. But Max, what have you seen down there as far as the art scene?
I agree. I bet there's always been a lot of artists down in El Segundo that you really didn't know about. But we were recently introduced to Holly, and I really appreciate her, you know, putting in this, I think, perhaps the first art walk in El Segundo, and we're actually going to be part of it, which we're really proud of. And I think it's fantastic. So I do think it's something that is starting to grow. Absolutely.
Is there going to be a studio tour at your facility?
Yeah. Anybody wants to come down to 114 Sheldon Street, the third Thursday this month, please stop by and take a tour because we're going to be part of the
Walk. Joe, were you aware of that? It's not going to be in my weekend guide, I think, till next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's going to be an art walk, and it's, you know, so you're going to be able to go to galleries, but then there are also going to be studio tours. So, you know, you can walk
mm-hmm.
around and mosey in and check things out.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I think if I come down, I'll visit the mighty Wurlitzer. Yes.
That's right.
But, you know, that's there, too.
Up on Richmond, yeah.
Exactly, the mighty Wurlitzer. It's an amazing place. But
the Old Town Music Hall, you mean?
Yeah, the Old Town Music Hall. Yeah,
yeah, that's one of my favorite streets in El Segundo.
It is absolutely here in California, and the South Bay really has had an opportunity because of the establishment of the Chevron plant and the established. You know, establishment of the airport and all that has anchored that area. So there's been very little impetus to tear down and redevelop. That place is timeless.
It is
a great place.
Oh my goodness!
And one of our guests one time was telling us about how it's bordered. You've got the ocean on the west.
Yeah.
You've got the refinery on one side, the airport on the other side, and then Sepulveda.
Yeah.
And east of Sepulveda is all commercial.
Right.
So it's like this secret place.
The secret, the place where time stood still.
Yes, yes. And walking down Richmond Street, and you see all those buildings from like the 20s and 30s, and they're still there. They're still, you know, functioning. There are businesses in them. It's a great spot.
Yeah, it is. It is wonderful.
Oh, we need to do a commercial break.
Yeah, let's do that. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the South Bay Show, and we have a great guest with us, Max Yaffe, founder of Big Door Entertainment Company, right here in the South Bay in El Segundo, and it's an exciting conversation. If you'd like to join us, we'd love to have you. Please give us a call at 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288. We'd love to have your comment or question, and we'd also like to thank a sponsor. Jackie, who do we want to thank today?
Well, Joe, you know it's never too early to begin planning your financial future. When it comes to protecting your assets and hard-earned dollars, you'll want experienced professionals with a proven track record and flawless reputation on your team. Briganti, Cameron, Waters & Strong, certified public accountants and consultants, is the largest full-service accounting firm in the South Bay, and they are dedicated to providing professional services of the highest quality. The partners are South Bay residents deeply committed to serving the communities where they live, work, and play. They support a variety of local nonprofit organizations such as Skate Park PV, Palos Verdes Peninsula Land Conservancy, the Torrance South Bay YMCA, Rotary, and Pediatric Therapy Network, among others. BCWS prides itself on providing national accounting technical experience with the personal attention of a local company. This commitment to uphold high standards of excellence has proven key to their success and first-rate reputation. Their ultimate goal and reward is to see their clients achieve financial success as they define it, whether that means helping them to reduce their tax burden, assisting them with planning to ensure their financial security, succession planning, exit strategies, and wealth transfer. The partners and professionals of BCWS are committed to providing their clients with the expertise and guidance they need to reach their financial goals. For more information, visit the website at bcws.com. Call 310-542-0011. We almost forgot the sponsor spot because we were so, you know, involved in our conversation.
This is exciting. Now, Max, I have to ask you, in 2010, you were the production manager, unit production manager for Lost, The Final Journey. How did that How did that come about, that you became the unit production manager?
Well, something I've always done, I've always been involved either as a production manager, line producer, or director or producer on, or executive producer on different projects. It seems to all feed into each other because on the production managing, producing side, it's managing the production. And I often say it's like, we're like sophisticated carnies. When you get a show, you've got a whole bunch of people. You know, you really are bringing a circus to the town in a big production and setting up camp and trying to do something. And the Lost project was great. I found what was interesting about Lost is the audience were so sophisticated. And so when we would do a promo, or especially a viral campaign for Lost, you had to be so precise. Because if there was a prop in the background and it would be a piece of scotch tape, we'd be like, wait, that scotch tape may represent this. And the Lost campaign was fantastic because we worked with them and their executive producers for 5 years. And it was such a fun show. Really enjoyed
it. It was. What a franchise.
What a great franchise. But that's also why, as a company, you never want to put all your eggs in one basket. So we did a ton of work for ABC, not only for Lost, but a lot of their other different shows and different campaigns, and then working also with ABC Digital. We still work with them. We love them. Mm. But as a company, you want to keep a pretty diverse client portfolio. Because, you know, if one person that you have a relationship with at the top goes to another company, somebody else comes in, brings in a team they like working for, suddenly all that work could be gone.
Oh my gosh! So now you're talking about the biz and about
I guess I did.
Okay, and that's good. That's a great transition because it is a tough business based on relationships still, regardless of the size of the production or the size of the movie. It's still very much a personal business. Max, why is that? I mean, we see TV dramas and documentaries about it all the time, but I think people that are not in the business of entertainment don't quite understand why that is. Why is that?
Well, I think first, a lot of businesses still work on networking, no matter what. Mm. It's not singular just to the entertainment industry. But most of our work, I would say 90% does come from word of mouth. Mm. And at the end of the day, anybody who hires you wants somebody that they're comfortable working with, that they're going to have a good relationship with, because it is very intense work. It can be very long hours. It's very stressful. It's very concentrated and explosive for a short period of time. So you want to be with people you trust and you're comfortable with. So that's part of it. And you also want people going to do a good job because at the end of the day, you know, it's your head on the line. And you want people who are going to be creative and also elevate the project. So people looking for relationships with people that they trust, they know, they're comfortable with. And just the nature, I think, of entertainment, because it has always been so relationship-driven and, you know, meeting people, having lunch, getting to know them, to work together. And, of course, the creative process, as you know, is always something where, you know, you got to get together with somebody and, you know, develop concepts and ideas. And it's actually, it could be a nice part of the business as well.
Mm-hmm. It's fascinating, to the audience, I'm sure. And so tell us a little bit about what Big Door is doing today. What are some of the exciting things that Big Door is doing that you can tell us about, Max?
Well, what we've done is, again, always trying to look at what's around the corner that fits well with what we do. And so from the broadcast space, I got to go into a little history to get to today. I said, we got into doing digital. And we then got into doing some live streaming. So we did the first ever live scripted music video with a band called Death Cab for Cutie, which is a lot of fun. We've done a lot of stuff in the music space. And then what we do now, which is a big part of our wheelhouse, is we do a lot of branded entertainment. And
now,
for those who...
explain that.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Yeah, so branded entertainment, a lot of companies have seen the eyeballs go away from commercials because we can just TiVo and skip through them. And also a lot of people now watch their entertainment, especially if they're under 40, on computers and phones and iPads. So how do you capture those eyeballs if you can't capture them through traditional commercials? So branded entertainment or branded content has become a huge, huge business. And really, it almost harks back to, you know, the 50s where, you know, maybe it was product placement when they had a Maytag dishwasher in the background. And so what we're doing is we are giving information, advertisement, or just brand awareness about products within entertainment content. And let me give you guys some examples that may help out. So back a few years ago when we were doing what I would call hard branding, where it's in their face. This is a branded content commercial, and we're doing some heavy product placement. So for one of the MTV VMAs, we did a show with NERD and Sierra and Pharrell when they launched the Chevy Cruze. And we actually put a Chevy Cruze right up on stage. And we recreated a 1950s drive-in theater down at the Paramount lot and actually brought in legacy vehicles from GM's museum in Detroit, had them shipped in, and then took some of their newer vehicles and mixed them up in what looked like a drive-in. And then we brought in 400 extras. And so if you're watching the VMAs that year, it would look like an actual performance by NERD and Pharrell, except it was a drive-in theater set with a big screen in the back showing driving shots and a Chevy Cruze up on stage.
Oh, wow.
I think I saw that.
I think I saw that.
As you were describing it, I remember that. I remember that.
So the,
okay.
Oh, wow, that's great. So the interesting thing is, who are the brands also in that project? We have Chevy, but there's two others.
Well, aren't the musicians brands themselves?
Exactly. So the musicians are a brand.
Sure.
And you have MTV as a brand.
Right.
And which challenging with doing branded entertainment, maybe a little less so now because people are more sophisticated about it, but anytime something new, of course, you know, NERD and Sierra, you know, they're strong musicians and they want to be loyal to their fans, so they want to be sure that they're represented well in the brand. It's not too commercial. Chevy, of course, wants a lot of branded logos and they want to be represented. And then MTV is also deciding, are we more Jersey Shore or are we more, you know, getting into branded content? And a lot of it is really just balancing everybody else's needs and trying to find some common ground, some alignment when you do any of these projects.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like when a big movie star decides to do a commercial for a particular product. I imagine they do a lot of research to make sure that they want their name associated with that project, right? So it's kind of like that.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of research. There's a lot of written limitations about what they'll do and what they won't do. And, yeah, it gets very involved.
Mm-hmm.
So from there, we've gone into, we did the first ever branded entertainment show for OWN called My Own Time, which was sponsored by Procter & Gamble. And it was really a more soft branding, a home show about different things that people, you know, can do in their house and meeting people. You know, it had cooking segments, it had gardening segments, it had segments about, you know, different people and what they're doing to make life at home better. So that that we did. And from there, we've gone into more, I think, entertainment type content that has been pretty popular. So we worked for Glenlivet, which of course is a Scotch brand. And this was interesting because they wanted to do really soft branding, which we prefer. No product shots in the piece. And it was more about what is the ethos of the brand. And Glenlivet is, you know, a bunch of guys hanging out, drinking scotch, maybe smoking a cigar and talking about life. So the concept became, let's find some luminaries and some celebrities and let's ask them, tell us about a time where you went left instead of right or when you had an epiphany. And it's a tough thing to do because, of course, you know, in our business, we like to have everything laid out so we know it's going to be right. But with this, when we're interviewing celebrities who are, you know, going to take part in this, this is just for a sit-down interview to tell their story because it's all about story, we don't want them to tell us the story because then it's not going to be fresh. The audience is going to sniff it out. We want them to tell it for the first time on camera.
Right. Tough.
So we had, yes, we had the Warby Parker guys. We had David Spade. We had Ed Burns. But my my favorite one was with Bryan Cranston. And yeah, it was great. He just talked about how he became an actor, but he tells such an amazing story. And
wow.
it was during the last season of Broken Bad, so it was great timing.
I have to ask something because I know that we've all experienced this where you're sitting there watching TV and a commercial comes on and you have no idea what the commercial is for. Right, as you said, there's no hard branding in it. And what I find interesting about them is when I experience that, and I'm like, what was that for? Was that a car commercial? Was that a phone commercial? I don't know what it was for. But to me, it makes it more interesting to see it again and again, and I look forward to it. And when I see it, I'm like, oh, wait a minute, let me watch this. Let me see if I can figure that out. Now, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing from the people that are making it. How does that work, Max?
Well, I mean, it's interesting trying to judge, what is the effectiveness of, different commercial spots. Certainly a lot of stuff that we do is we're just trying to link a certain feeling with the brand. We're trying to represent, what is the ethos of this brand? And how do we relate that this is part of what we represent. But ideally, you still want to know which brand it is at the end of the day that you're linking to.
Yeah, maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm a little slow, but eventually I do catch on.
I'm sure you're not.
Wow, this has been fascinating. Is there something that you want to highlight, a new production coming up that you want to highlight to the audience?
Well, the last two we did a piece for Cadillac with the Producers Guild of America, which was a great program where they're trying to inspire and educate and excite the next generation of producers. So they did a contest where they took the best producers out of this thousands and thousands of entries, and then they gave them $30,000 and said, hey, go make a short film for the three finalists. So we did a digital series with them and actually ended up the winner got to have a spot at the Oscars last year, which It was just great to see these talented young kids and to see them at the Producer Guild Awards and see them, finding their success. That was a lot of fun. And it was a mentoring program with some famous producers, which that was really interesting. So we did that digital series recently, and we just did another one for Absolute that just came out a little while ago called Love is Love. And it's about a secret proposal, and it's meant to go directly digitally, and it's got about 650,000 hits. It's been up for a couple of weeks, so it's starting to gain some traction.
Yeah,
I've seen that one. 650,000,
I'm sorry. Oh, great.
I've seen that one.
That's wonderful. That's great. And we're so excited, Max, to have you here. It's really, just a testament to the place that we live. We celebrate the South Bay, and it's wonderful to highlight what Big Door Entertainment Company does.
Well, thank you, guys. And I love what you guys are doing because it's interesting to listen to your show and hear about, different people who are doing different things in the South Bay that you highlight. And I'm like, oh, I didn't hear about that person or what they're doing. And I think there's so many interesting people who live down here, and there's a lot of entrepreneurs or people with that independent entrepreneurial spirit, whether they're involved in the arts or they're involved in charity or they're involved in entertainment or business. And I just think it's really fascinating what they all do.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. So now we're not quite done with you. Don't go away. We're going to talk more with Max Yaffe, founder of Big Door Entertainment Company. Jackie, what else is going on around town?
There's a ton of stuff. I don't know if you've noticed the last couple of weeks, the weekend guide it's like 10 pages long. So I'm going to quickly go through this. Okay. Murad Inclusive Health Spa in El Segundo is hosting a summer skin event today, this evening, from 6 to 8 p.m. Guests will have the opportunity to meet Dr. Howard Murad and hear his tips on protecting your skin and revealing skin's natural radiance for summer. As I said, I'm just going to go through this fast, but all the information and links are on my website, www.southbaybyjackie.com. Tin Roof Bistro is hosting a winemaker's dinner tonight at 6:30 p.m. with Retour Winery and Woodward Wines. Guests will learn about these cult wines of the Willamette Valley, and that's Tin Roof Bistro in Manhattan Beach. Now, this event has already sold out, and the public was invited to attend the Arc Flying Aerial Showcase on Friday, June 12th. This high-flying event will feature instructors and students performing on a range of apparatus, including static trapeze, silks, cordelise, hammock, and lyra. So that's Friday. If you don't already have your tickets, you're out of luck. By the way, I'm going to be ringmaster for the evening, so it's going to be a lot of fun. As a matter of fact, I'll be over there all night for a very long rehearsal. The Redondo Pier Association hosts the second season of Movies on the Boardwalk at the Redondo Beach Pier. It continues this Friday, June 12th at 8 p.m. It's a free event, and the featured movie tomorrow night is Up. All right, it takes place between 8 and 10, and movies times vary because of whenever dusk happens. So it's not on the pier. It's in the Octagon below Kincaid's. There used to be a building there, and they tore it down. Now it's a big empty space, and it's just below Kincaid's where the pier meets the International Boardwalk. So that's where the movie's going to be tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. The public is invited to attend the opening reception of Share Your Vision at Gallery H on Saturday, June 13th from 6 to 9 p.m. This is an exhibition features a group of advanced students from Creative Photo Academy in Torrance who will be presenting their yearly portfolio from their advanced boot camp class. Support Host Town Hermosa and leave your mark on the city. The public is invited to participate in a Special Olympics hand project on Saturday, June 13th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Community Center. Attendees can get their handprints on the new portable wall celebrating the Special Olympics World Games. The cost is $10 for adults and $5 for children. Okay, this is a big one, Joe, and everybody's going to be there. The public is invited to attend the Redondo Gateway Bike Path Ribbon Cutting and Public Bike Ride on Saturday, June 13th at the corner of Hirondo Street and Harbor Drive at 10 a.m. The event will take place at the new Plaza Parkette that connects the Strand with the new bike lane along Harbor Drive. It has a whole bunch of new stuff, including three pieces of kinetic art that will be unveiled, including the piece commissioned by the Redondo Leadership Class 2013. This much-needed two-way bike path is separated by car traffic by a landscape median, and so the mayor and the city council members are going to be down there, and the public bike ride will take place at approximately 10:30 a.m. So everybody come on down, bring your bikes, be prepared to go for a bike ride. Beach City Cycling Club is going to conduct another safety course, Bicycling Traffic Skills 101, on Saturday, June 13th and Saturday, June 20th. Again, all the info is on my website. The annual Manhattan Wine Auction takes place Saturday, June 13th, but it sold out weeks ago, and don't say I didn't warn you, all right? These things sell out. So, so if you don't have tickets for that, tough luck. King Harbor Boating Foundation presents Craft Brews and Tunes on Sunday, June 14th from 1 to 4 p.m. at Eureka Tasting Kitchen. The fundraiser will benefit KHBF's Waterfront Education Program. The afternoon will feature craft beers, gourmet appetizers, and live Caribbean music by the Dietz Brothers. General admission tickets are $46 per person. All right, you can also reserve tables and booths for four guests starting at $184. Eureka Tasting Kitchen is located at the Hawthorne Airport. Beach City's Health District presents Zumba in the Park, weekly from June 15th to August 3rd as part of their free fitness summer series. Get ready to dance your way into shape this summer. It's going to be every Monday night from 6:30 to 7:30. Last Monday was the last yoga on the beach. They ran that for a month, and now they're doing Zumba in the park. And, again, the schedule is on my website. So, anyway, these are just a few of the events taking place, so be sure to check the calendar links, Things to Do page, and daily blog posts on my website, southbaybyjackie.com, for details on these and other events happening throughout the South Bay. And we should start mentioning it, Joe. Starting July 1st,
yeah,
we are going to be broadcasting a new show on Wednesdays, Redondo Beach, More to See. It's produced by the Redondo Beach Chamber of Commerce, and that's coming up in a couple of weeks, and we're very excited about that.
Redondo, More to See.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Looking forward to it. And looking forward to meeting you, Max, and seeing a tour of Big Door Entertainment Company right here in El Segundo.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
Sounds exciting. Yeah. When you think, Max, about your career, and you talked, you know, very animatedly about these young producers and the chance to work with them, is there any advice or counsel you can give young producers today that want to get into the business? What is it like getting into the business these days? Is it easier or harder?
Well, that's a good question. I think, so back in the day, if you walk back in time 20 years, there were less jobs available because there were huge barriers to entry. You know, an edit system cost $250,000. Now you can get Final Cut Pro for $1,000 and every kid is growing up editing. So the barriers to entry, whether the price of cameras, which used to be $100,000 and are now $400 and they look fantastic, have dropped. And so that means everybody can go out and start being a producer. And, of course, you look at, you know, all the YouTube kids that are out there. And there's a lot more jobs, I guess, available. And there's a lot more access to the tools and the skills to get into a job. But the business is also much more diluted as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's all over the place. It's, you know, like the wild, wild west. So it's easier to get in probably on the floor now, but it's probably a little more difficult to find the more, I guess, higher-end positions. It's advice for, I think, anybody just like who wants to get into any type of business is just learn. You know, find people who you can learn from and listen and follow them and do whatever you can. And then at the same time, go out and do it. It's a doing business. You want to be a cameraman? Go out and shoot it as much as you can. You want to be an editor? Find projects. Keep editing and editing those projects. You want to be a producer? Find a great team of creatives and go out and do projects. And, yes, you'll make mistakes, fall down. That's what it's all about. It's about the learning process, and it's about just getting back up and doing it again. So you're on those two tracks. One, you're learning from people who are very knowledgeable. You can take those little trinkets of knowledge and go out and apply them to the projects that you go out and try and put together on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And network, go to events, and it's a hard business. If you're in, let's say, aerospace, or maybe that wasn't a good example, but if maybe you're in the printing business, there's not a commercial celebrating the printing business that's out there all the time that people go, oh, my God, I got to go out if I want to be in the printing business. But because our business is supposedly a glam business, it's really not. At the end of the day, yes, it's creative, it's fun, but it's still a business. But you are just putting out these commercials every day. come into the entertainment mm-hmm. business, come into the entertainment business. So there's a lot more people out here competing for those jobs, and that's the difficult part.
Right.
So if you want to be successful, you've got to be better than all of them.
And you talked a little bit about the new world of digital productions that are starting to come to the fore. You know, as more and more people are aware of online content through YouTube and other sources, people are getting their entertainment and some of their news, obviously. From online and sort of ignoring the major, you know, ABC, NBC, CBS nightly news kind of a thing. What do you think ultimately how do you think this is going to play out in the next 5 or 10 years? If you had a crystal ball and you had a minute to tell the future that I saw it first, what's coming up?
On the whole spectrum or the, I think my first answer is, I don't know. This,
yeah.
You know, I guess the industry has just changed so rapidly. And if you change quick with it, a lot of people have been very successful with it. And it's also left a lot of people behind because they haven't changed rapidly enough. And the industry used to change every 5 years. So every 5 years, oh, there's a new camera out, or they're doing something different. It moved at a glacial pace almost. Now our business takes a turn, a curve. Every 9 months, something's happening. And I think, you know, we're going to see the networks struggle a lot more, your traditional television. We've already seen what we call appointment TV really start to go away, except for live events and sports where you have something that's happening at a certain time. And we're seeing even the feature industry, they're now taking people who are stars on YouTube and they're making stars in these $1 million features. And then they'll surround them with real actors because they're running the numbers and saying, okay, they've got 30,000 or 30 million people that follow them. X percent are going to buy tickets. Let's do it.
Right.
And of course, YouTube stars are becoming more popular than regular actors.
Wow.
It's fascinating. It's to watch how things are changing and ideally, I mean, if you told me Netflix was going to be as popular with the original programming as they are now, 4 or 5 years ago, I'd be surprised.
Right. Well, I guess we have to do another show. Max Yaffe, it's been fascinating, and we've only scratched the surface.
Well, I really appreciate you guys having me on there.
Thank you. It's amazing, you know, what's going on in the industry, and we want to know more, so we will have to have him on again, Jackie.
Okay, Joe. I'll get right on it.
Okay. Max, thank you so much. We look forward to seeing you soon and taking a tour of Big Door Entertainment.
You can do that. You'll be able to do that on June 18th. That's next Thursday.
All right.
For the El Segundo Art Walk. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much, Max, for joining us. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us. And we'll see you tomorrow for Manhattan Beach 360. Thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
All right. That's our show, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye now. All right. And bye, Max.
Hi, guys.